have Dialogues, a show that features narratives from everyday people and their journey towards learning a language. I'm your host, Milo Falcone.
In today's episode, I have a married couple from Long Island, Carlos from Guatemala, and Janet from Peru. And this is their journey.
I'm Janet. I'm 40 years old. That's sad. I was born in Peru. I came to this country when I think I was turning 12 years old. Actually, very sad, so I don't want to remember because my birthday was like the next day. And I spent it alone with my other brother. But anyways. I'm a social worker. I work with family that are homeless. I have a son named Jacob. Oh, and Carlos, my husband. Go ahead, babe.
Thank you. My name is Carlos Rivera. I'm from Guatemala. I came here when I was almost 12 years old, roughly around the same age as her. I came here when I was 12. I actually did not grow up with my parents. I grew up with my grandparents. So my dad, I think, left when I was born. He came to the United States. So then when I was 5 years old, from what they tell me at least, my mom came to the United States. So I grew up with my grandparents and my aunts. By the age of 12, they decided to bring me to the United States, where I met my two sisters that were born in the United States. And, you know, that was my life, you know. From that point on, I've been living in Long Island all my life.
When I first arrived to New York, we lived in Hoboken, and we lived there for a short time, only I think 2 or 3 months, and then we moved to Central Islip. In Central Islip, we lived there for about 3 years, 2 years. But then my mother met her husband, which is my stepdad, and we moved to Smithtown. And that's where I met Carlos when I was 15 years old in high school. Carlos always grew up in a white neighborhood.
Am I allowed
to say white neighborhood?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I came here roughly almost 12. I grew up in St. James. For the people that don't know where St. James is, it's literally a white school. I was probably like out of 2 kids, including that would be including me. There was Spanish, Colombian from Chile and Guatemala. And, you know, for me it was tough because, you know, it was like a big change.
Like I had mentioned in the previous episode, ESL programs around the United States were not readily available for everybody. And of course, Carlos and Janet were one of those people who were, quote, affected by the lack of programs. Here's what they had to say.
Actually, in Smithtown, they didn't have ESL classes. Like, because there was not that many Spanish people in the school itself. That they, when they created it, it was actually only, 4 kids? Carlos was not in it, but I was put in it by mistake. And I took advantage, because then I had to speak English.
No, she's like, literally, Janet's kind of jumping a little ahead, but, okay, so prior to Janet and I actually knowing each other, I actually went to St. James from, that's 5th grade elementary school. Then I went to Smithtown Middle School East. From that point on, I went to high school. That's where I met Jenna. She ended up moving to Smithtown. The funny part is that she knew my cousin Jonas all this time. So we had never met, but she knew my cousin Jonas. So we actually met in high school.
Yeah.
I believe it was 10th grade.
Yeah, he thought I didn't speak English because I was in ESL. Me and his cousin were in ESL. So what happened was because we came from a school, Central Islip, they thought we didn't speak English. So they put us in bilingual, in the ESL right away. But me and his cousin actually knew each other since we were in 5th grade, 4th grade. So we just rode the boat because we didn't have to take many English classes. So we stayed in ESL until they realized that me and him were very fluent in English and we knew how to write. They kicked us out. Literally, kicked us out. We're sneaky. Carlos also rode the boat in high school.
I did not. Anyway, even though we came around the same time, I guess our lives were a little different. She went to CI.
But no, because he thinks that I lived in Central Iowa for 2 years. He thinks I'm just it from the hood. Like, I'm just a hood girl. It's 2 years, for God's sakes. Yes, I wore baggy jeans. Yes, I wore that tank top and the Fila sneakers.
So, even though we came around the same time, she went to CI, Central Islip, as people call it, CI, because, you know, apparently, yeah. Oh, sorry. Central Islip is very...
Spanish.
It's a Spanish community. So classes were actually taught in Spanish, even though you're in the United
States. Oh, yeah.
States.
Like, my English, Spanish, everything was in Spanish. I didn't have to, like, classes weren't in Spanish.
Yeah.
That's why my mom
so that's where, like, 90% of the kids were from Latin America, so, right? Compared to me, I went to a school where there was literally, I was...
listening to Sublime.
No, I just grew up in a place where, you know, it was a very different environment compared to hers. So,
preppy boy.
I see that.
I'm just saying it was just different.
You know? Oh my God, you guys.
Some people might think it's a good thing. Some people think it's a bad thing. So I work in an aerospace company. Mainly, I manage the facilities department. So my job is to make sure that all the equipment in the building runs accordingly to make sure that we make our numbers.
I also wanted to know how long they had been in the United States. Okay.
28 years.
Yeah, 28 years.
We came around the same age. So
oh, wow.
We came at the same time. I think he probably could tell you the month if you were to ask your mom. We probably came in the same year, 92.
I came in...
Jesus, that's all my life, guys.
Yeah.
I came in late August.
Oh, I came in May.
I came in late August.
That's actually really cute.
Yeah.
I'm actually jealous.
In late August.
Ah, love in the ESL classes. Just kidding, guys. I asked them also if it was safe to assume that Spanish was their first language, but these were their thoughts.
See, we were actually talking about that today before your interview. We were saying, like, we feel like we got robbed from, like, the Spanish language and the English because we didn't get the best of Spanish. Like, we were taken out of our culture so early. Like, we missed that. Like, we didn't get to learn about their history, and then we come here, and we're already behind in their history. So it's like, it was like always a catching up. It's catching up. I asked him today, he said that, yeah, babe, I kind of feel the same way, but I don't know, Carlos, what do you think?
No, I think it was just a struggle, you know, your age where, like, 11, that's where you
like
have your friends.
Yeah.
You know, join company, and use the culture, and then
I feel like you come
here and it's more like...
I feel like at 12 years old, you already have made that group of friends that you're going to grow up with. And it's like, oh my God, we just came in. And it's like, we don't have that. You know, and the ones that we had in Peru, we're going to lose them anyway because they're moving on. And I feel like we got robbed. I feel like I got robbed.
What Carlos and Janet experienced is called cultural shock. And the term cultural shock refers to the feelings of uncertainty, confusion, or anxiety. And people experience this when they are transplanted into a different society that's, of course, not their own. Culture shock usually sets in when people go, you know, on vacation, or they're doing business, go to school, or plain and simple, when you move to another city or country. I was wondering what they liked the most from their cultures, and this were their thoughts.
The family bond, I guess, like the grandparents, the aunts, like the mom, they all live in a home and they're okay with it. Like, you know, yeah, there's drama. Yeah, like any family, but they're okay living all in the same house. And it's like, I don't know, we come here and we're Americanized and it's like, oh, I wish, you know, I didn't, like, did live with my mom or this thing, but then I realized Jake is getting a different type of like relationship with my mom because of that. You know, it's like other children are like, well, yeah, I see grandma like once a month, or I see her once a year in the holidays. So that's the one thing I love every time I go to Peru, because I see that, and I'm like, you know, we have cousins that like, they're like, I mean, it's not okay, but 38, they're still living with their parents. Like, I mean, but I don't know, there's something, and they get along, you know, they get along. I don't know. To me, it's like, it's amazing. Like, they're able to just live together, you know, I don't know. It's just me. Yeah, it's different. I know Jake is going to lose on my son, but I hope he doesn't call me another time. I hope he just leaves me there. I think that's why we take him to Peru once a year, so he sees that, you know. But I don't know. They're just like, it's like that bond, and I wish it was here. I feel like the culture here sometimes is just not. It's kind of like a survival mode, like, you know.
Wow.
You're on your own. I don't know. That's how I feel, but.
But as far as that, family is definitely number one.
It's the same for Guatemala.
Yeah, same thing.
Oh.
There's no difference, really.
Well, no, they don't live in the same house, but they, like, own a whole block.
Oh, my God.
Like, aunt, cousin, grandma, like, your whole block is owned by your family. Like, we're moving. What the hell's next door?
Yeah. I mean, so, we've been there. She's been to my town. I've been to where, you know, I guess we both experience our culture, so.
Yeah. I think Jake Carlos's culture, though, there's one thing I don't like personally. I feel like I mean, I'm sure they have it in Peru, but my family doesn't do that. Where, like, the women stay with the women, the men stay with the men.
Oh, God.
No. And in Peru, we don't do that. Like, the men hang out with the women. At least my uncles and my aunts. I was in Guatemala. When I got there, it's like the women are with the women, and the men are with the men, and the men eat first.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's what I said. You know? And it's like, I don't know, and that's his culture. I don't know if he likes that. I mean, he's changed. He's not like that, but I think, I don't know.
It's just really depends how you see it. It's not like, she's more very independent, very like, I'm a woman. So for her, it's not okay, but it's not like if she does it for me, where she serves me food, per se, I'm not going to say like, oh, I am the man of the house. That's what she's doing. And it's just, you know, she's serving me food, like I would serve food, you know. So I don't really think too much into it.
Of course, like I do with all my guests, I asked if they thought they had an accent, and this is what they had to say.
Yeah.
I know I have an accent.
I feel like I have a stronger accent than Carlos. Actually, his lack of confidence is like, he doesn't have that, and I think it's because of his parents never were there to really kind of be like, you're good at this, good at this. But he's good. He's way better writer than me. He speaks better than me, and he doesn't think he does. You know, like,
I don't think much of anything, babies.
He doesn't. He doesn't give himself more credit than he thinks. Like, I have to struggle to study stuff. He doesn't. But he doesn't think he's that smart.
That's being smart, Carlos.
I don't know.
Both Carlos and Janet are bilinguals, in Spanish and in English. So I wanted to ask them where they first learned English, or if they learned elsewhere, I guess, right?
Okay, you want to go first?
No, go.
Okay. Well, when I was in Peru, my mom actually got us an English teacher, private one. Never paid attention. I only learned the word cat, meow. Cat or kitty. We didn't know what kitty was.
Yeah, cat.
So over here you call it kitty, 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 right?
Yeah,
I didn't learn that. So I learned the word cat. So when I first came here, I was like, cat, 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 cat. You know, because it was like the only word that I knew how to call. So it's really bad. But that's, you know what? That's my own fault, because I never paid attention to that teacher.
I'm learning so much about my wife today.
I never paid attention to that teacher. I was always offering cookies or milk. I was always looking for an excuse to get out of that room. Except Henry. Henry was a nerd. Needless to say, my brother, when did I learn English? Probably when I got here. Even though my mom thought she really thought I spoke English, and I didn't. You know, I think I learned it when I was in, maybe when I went to Smithtown. No. I think I learned that when I was, like, it took 2 years to really learn it.
It could have been how long?
Huh? I was there only 3 months. 3 months enough to, like, no, I don't think so. No, it was definitely centralized living. I got here when I was in fifth grade or fourth grade, one of those. I think by seventh grade already, seventh grade. You know what's funny? Okay, so I didn't speak English very well. I didn't write it well either. I think when you go, I don't know if you know, centralized living, sixth grade is elementary, seven and eight is junior high. When I got to seventh grade, somehow I ended up in Regents classes. I have no idea how, because I was in ESL in sixth grade, in fifth grade, in fourth grade, I think. So somebody fucked up. And I ended up in Regents with no ESL classes anymore. And I told my brother, and my brother, being an asshole, goes and translates it to my mom that I'm in the smart classes. So my mom was proud, so now I had a struggle. And I just stuck it up. Like, I mean, I'm telling you, I passed with D's. Because I couldn't afford to get kicked out of Regents because of my mom. So it wasn't like I earned it. Somebody messed up, and I ended up in Regents. I guess that made me learn, because I got kicked out of ESL in 7th grade, in 8th grade, and then in ninth grade when I moved to Smithtown. Maybe they caught up on my game, because they put me in ESL, but I already spoke English, and then they kicked me out within 3 months, and put me in regular classes again. So, yeah, I think I was forced to learn English. I don't know. How about you?
Spoken English? With me, it just happened, I guess, in doing time. I had a choice. You know, I was surrounded by people that actually spoke English only, so, you know, eventually, after a while, I picked it up. I was obviously going to ESL classes, and, you know, they did whatever they do there, you know, taught me English. And over time, over the years, I picked it up. There was really nothing special. I mean, to this day, I'm still learning. So.
I also wanted to know if they had any thoughts about language learning in general, and what they're exposing their son to, for instance. And this is what they had to say.
With Jacob, for example, I think we made the mistake of not speaking to him in Spanish. Because he's going to learn English regardless. He's going to be surrounded by people that speak English. So we made a mistake of just, like, speaking English to him. It doesn't matter if he speaks Spanish incorrectly now, but he'll get it eventually.
Actually, for me, it's like, now I thought I spoke very good English. I was like, yeah, I rock at this. But because, you know, I only spoke English because of my stepdad. For 20 years, so I think he was married to my mom, actually 23 or whatever years they were married. And until my son starts speaking English and saying all these English words that I have never heard, you know, and I think it's because he only speaks English and he only talks in English to his classmates. So here I am Googling it because I don't want to look stupid. I mean, you know, my son thinks I'm a genius and we're going to keep it that way. You know, so.
Like in every episode, I ask my guests if they have ever felt different because of the way they spoke English. And these were Carlos and Janet's thoughts.
I think there are moments in my life where I still, like, I mean, I know I'm good at my career. I know what I'm doing. I know I learned it. I went to school for it. But I feel like sometimes where there's the language barrier, where there is, Americans know a certain language, there's certain words, like in Spanish language too, like there's certain words that they know. And even though I know I'm smart and I know it, I can feel like my supervisor, wow, her vocabulary is completely different. And it's like, am I smart enough? Do I sound smart like her? So I question myself sometimes when I speak to her. And I find myself kind of like, do I want to talk or do I just keep here in silence, because that would make me look smarter, you know? So to me, like, I think that happens regardless, even now, as an adult. And not when I was younger. It happened in high school too, but I don't think in high school it affected. I didn't put too much thought into it as an adult, because it's a career. It's my, you know, it's different, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think that's a bad thing, you know. I mean, I think like too many of us are trying to be so perfect at speaking a second language per se. But at the same time, like, you know what? This is my second language. You know what? I speak it, and people understand what I'm trying to say. Like, I'm not trying to be perfect. I'm trying to be intellectual and saying all these complicated words. I'm trying to keep it simple. If people get the point, then great. Every day, really.
Wow.
Honestly, every day. Like, it's like, for me, it's been a learning process. There's obviously always, like, the insecurity, like, oh, my God. If I say a certain word, you know, are they going to understand me? But at the end of the day, you know what? They are going to understand. They
Carlos comes home and asks me, babe, how does this sound? And I say the same thing to him. We're kind of like a support to each other, because we kind of need like each other's kind of, well, what do you think this sounds like? Okay, well, I think this is better. And how does this sound? Well, I think this is better, because sometimes we're both insecure of what, like, if we're saying
it's
it
always
right.
Insecure is about, like, okay, being that it's not your first, you know,
language.
Compared to somebody that's, you know, that actually per se... a person that actually was born here, went to school here, went to college here, you know, they obviously gonna speak it. I wouldn't say I'm not gonna say they're gonna speak it better, but their language, the way they communicate is better, you know. But I can put the same message they put out there in simple words and still create the same message. You know, it doesn't have to be that complicated. I think it's like too many people use this too many complicated words where, like, no, let's keep it simple. And people like that, you know. Or even per se, like, we always talk about writing emails. I mean, I heard it from my boss that graduated from Harvard.
Keep it simple. Get to the point,
the
heading. It should be,
keep
because
short,
then you lose the per. Like, see, I come to workshops and training. Then the email, whatever you're asking, has to be like straight a sentence. You don't have to write a whole paragraph, because then you already lost your audience. So it's funny, because then you're thought that you really have to use this fancy language, but then when you're in the real world, you're like, no, get to the point.
It's like a learning experience every day, you know. And I think it just has to do with like more like self awareness, where like. Okay, it doesn't have to be perfect. You're trying. As long as you're trying, that's the meaningful thing. You know? Personal opinion is not.
I don't think I
have
had that moment of embarrassment yet. I hope I won't. I hope I don't have to. But I guess you can say I've been fortunate enough not to have that embarrassing moment where, like, oh my God, I'm bilingual. They didn't understand. Like, I've been lucky.
So I am. So I'm not trying to contradict you, babe, but. You know, I've purposely put myself in situations where, like, I know I'm gonna fail, per se. You know, especially at my job, right? Regardless if I'm talking to my boss, explaining something to an auditor, for example, where, like, I do not know the answer and I do speak just because I wanna say. Can I talk? I've been in situations where, like, I felt like I sucked answering a question or not knowing something or a struggle explaining it in certain words that, you know. It's where, like, I'm talking to you about what I have gone through, and me thinking about it, and me getting nervous about it, my accent comes out.
I think I might have made Carlos a little nervous. But let's move on. Now, I wanted to also know which language Carlos and Janet used when they needed to express themselves, whether that was sharing emotions or anger. And here's what they had to say.
He's actually good in texting in English, not in Spanish, but in English. He's actually can pour his heart out in texting.
I love that. Thank you for
just
that.
Just in texting, though. Like, you know, and it's like kind of like seriously.
Don't expect a text from me later.
Like, but he has to be really, you really gotta get, you gotta get Carlos to be in a certain, like, you gotta hit a certain spot where he'll be like, okay, now he'll text back, you know? It, and it's very rare, or you, very, very rare. Otherwise, he's like, okay, we'll do it again, you know? Or, but it's, that's Carlos, and I think I learned.
I feel like
it's always been like that. He will never.
There's really no purpose in talking too much about something, a specific subject. It's like, okay, I learned, great, just move on.
For me, I think it's easier in English than Spanish. You know, even to my mom, that's only mostly Spanish speaking with her. I think like when I'm mad and frustrated, it comes out in English. You know, so to me, it's mostly English. Even in Peru, when my grandma got me upset with something that happened with my mom, I think I went off in English. You know, so I guess my natural reaction is English.
I don't snap. I don't.
He doesn't snap.
No.
But they know, you know when you, you can tell when you got to the point where you're.
I wouldn't say I snap. I just don't let my emotions get to me. I mean, obviously, if it's the person I met as American, I'm going to be snapping American. You know, there's no purpose in me saying, like, yes, which is
English.
North American. Which it would be considered English.
Well, thank you so much, Carlos and Janet, for being so open and sharing what you shared with us today. We hope that other people can find some comfort in your stories and experiences, because so many people have been taken from their countries at the age of 12. I think it's another pretty relatable time, or I guess situation, circumstance, if you want to call it like that. Anyways, thank you. This show was produced and edited by me, Milo Falcone. Very, very special thanks to my guest. Music by DJ Young and Pyrotion. Check their work down below. See you next time.